Well, hello there. You're listening to Dramatic Dublin on 90.3 Near FM. Welcome to the show. We're going to be covering lots of great stuff this week with an interview from Brian Hosford, who's the chairperson of the Millbank Theatre in Rush, which is the largest voluntary-run theatre in the country. I'll also be reviewing Trainspotting, which ran in Smock Alley Theatre recently, and of course, giving you the lowdown on what's going on in theatres around Dublin. And now I'm going to speak to Brian Hosford, chairperson from the Millbank Theatre in Rush. So I believe that the Millbank Theatre is the largest voluntary-run theatre in the country.
That's right, Alison. We are based here in Rush in North County Dublin, and we have our own purpose-built theatre, the Millbank Theatre. And it's been, the theatre itself has been running since 1988, when it was opened. By Rush Dramatic Society, which is the resident theatre company. And the society itself has been going since 1927. So we're close enough to 100 years, I suppose. Not that far away from our centenary. Another few years yet. But the theatre itself is fully owned by Rush Dramatic Society. And we run it on a voluntary basis. And we would produce somewhere around about 30 weeks of theatre a year between the various different events that we run.
And I've read that that Rush Dramatic Society has over 100 members. What's the demographic of the members?
The demographic, I suppose, everything from 4 to 84. We have over 100 adult or senior members, many of those members are actors, and a lot of them are also sort of support staff. They would do front of house, they would do backstage, with technical work, so we can call on a lot of people when we need to run a show, because as you know, the people who are front of house and who are backstage and who are running up and down ladders, hanging lights and that sort of thing are just as important as really what goes on the stage.
Absolutely, the show wouldn't be going on without any of them.
Exactly, yeah. And we have in addition to those 100 members, we have a very active junior youth theatre. We've got a theatre group called MIT, which is the Millbank Youth Theatre, which is for basically, I suppose, secondary students, everybody from first year up to sixth year. And then we have our drama dudes, who are the everybody from the little guys, from the 4-year-olds up to the 12-year-olds, and the idea is that we feed them through, so they have a full program from 4 to 18, and then hopefully at 18 then they come and join the senior group.
That's fantastic, a facility to have for the children in the area, I'd imagine.
It is great, yeah, because we work very closely as well with the local national schools. And I suppose the principle is that it's a community-based theatre, so we're always eager to encourage an interest in drama and theatre. So the local primary schools who would put on their annual plays or whatever it is that they wish to do have free access to the theatre for that, in terms of, you know, their parents and their grandparents come to see our shows, so it's something that we kind of give back to the community, and they put on their plays here, and you know, in the morning time or whatever, and they kind of march over from the school, put on their play, and march back again. So it's a nice way of sort of inculcating an interest in theatre from an early age, and so one of the reasons that we've been successful is, I suppose, is tradition, and that the group, as I say, has been going since the 1920s, and it has always continued on by fostering that love of drama and love of theatre in the young groups. You know?
I think it says on the website that the primary aim of the Millbank Theatre is to foster a love of drama and theatre in the community. By the sounds of things, you're well achieving that.
Yeah, we like to think that we're doing that year on year. That was the original aim of the group when it was set up way back then. And when we opened the theatre, when we built the theatre itself in 1988, we became a limited company. So that ideal was incorporated into our memorandum and articles of association. And So it's kind of it's enshrined in whatever we do. We try to basically cater for the theatrical needs of the community, and I suppose the fact that we have a purpose-built theatre means that we've become more accessible to people who view a night at the theatre as a night out or whatever. And like we don't have other than Dublin City or Drogheda to the north, we've kind of serviced those needs really for the northeastern end of the county.
Well, that's a great. It is a great facility to have your own theatre. It makes things a lot easier to get a facility to perform in. It saves you a lot of bother.
It does, yeah. So we'd have obviously many friends around the country in various different amateur drama groups, and the big advantage is that we're in control of our own space, so we can dictate where and when rehearsals happen, and we're not dependent on hiring other spaces for that sort of thing. So it wouldn't be unusual, particularly in the winter months, for there to be a play on stage and a play or in a rehearsal room up on the third floor, and another play being read in the bar or whatever, you know. So having that space and that facility means that we can continue to produce as many plays as we do, really, you know.
And would you ever bring a guest performance from other groups?
Yeah, we have done. Occasionally we get a request. Can we stage a show here? Can we say, you know, can we do whatever? And we're delighted to take in other groups. Sometimes we get touring professional groups, and actually we've linked up with the New Theatre in Tampa Bar over the last couple of years, and they have brought shows out, having done them in Essex Street, and they bring them out to here. They've been quite well attended, actually, and they're quite well supported.
Yeah, the New Theatre put on some great shows, all right.
They do, yeah. It's really some super stuff, and our patrons, I suppose, are interested in, you know, I'm not saying that we'd get an extended run, but certainly for two nights they can come out and you know, we'll get a couple of full houses for them, and they're pleased to put on the show, to bring it to a different audience, and our audiences are generally quite receptive to seeing something new, you know.
Absolutely, of course.
So it's in terms of the actual facility itself, I suppose it lends itself to from our point of view to production standards that we may not be able to achieve if we were dependent on hiring a hall or hiring a rehearsal space. It means we are in control of everything that we do, from technicals to, you know, from that point of view, we can decide on a lighting plot and a sound plot well in advance of the show actually going ahead, and we can often run, you know, maybe two or three dress rehearsals before we actually open. So it means that the show kind of hits the ground running.
Exactly.
And that's really the big advantage of the venue itself. And apart from the fact that it is a theatre, so it means that the audience has an enjoyable evening when they come to see a show.
Well, that's a really great facility. I mean, when you're renting a theatre, and sometimes you have to do the get-in, the tech rehearsal, the dress rehearsal, and the show all on the same day, and it's just trying to get everything into one day is really difficult.
No, it is, and I mean, everything has to be really down to a fine art when you're doing it that way, whereas it gives us time to tweak things. You know, we can try things out and say, no, that's not going to work, or we can, you know, we can make adjustments to a set if needs be, or we can make adjustments to lights, or whatever needs to be done, and we have, it just gives us a lot more breathing space to do that. And with the number of members, I suppose, that we have, it means that we can be a bit more, I suppose, adventurous in terms of the plays that we choose. We generally can pretty much stage whatever play we wish to stage, and without having a major concern as to the availability of actors. And if it's particularly technical, we'll certainly be able to put together a fairly large stage crew and technical crew as well, you know.
Yeah, and as if being the largest voluntary run theatre in the country wasn't enough, the Millbank Theatre has its own festival. Can you tell me a little bit about the Millbank Theatre Festival?
Yeah, basically the the Rush Drama Festival, which takes place in February each year, is part of the ADCI round of festivals that take place in the spring of every year. And basically, I think there's whatever somewhere between 35 and 40 preliminary festivals, and groups travel from all over the country, and there's basically a bandwagon going on all over the country as the groups move from one festival to the other. The festival is adjudicated by a professional adjudicator, and at the end of 10 nights a winner is announced, and the winner gets points. And at the end of the preliminary festivals, the top nine in the league table, in there are two league tables actually, there's an open section and a confined section, as they call it, and the top nine in each section go through to the All-Ireland finals. And the open finals are held every year in Athlone, and the confined finals migrate from province to province every year. So what we do is we kick off the festival season, in effect. Rush Drama Festival is the first festival on the circuit, and it opens on either the last or the second last Thursday of February. And over the last few years, we've just gone from strength to strength. We had our first festival in 2004, and we had 8 nights of theatre, and now we've moved up to 10. Well, we moved up to 10 the year after in 2005. And it's a very interesting process, actually, because groups from all over the country apply to our festival committee, and they decide which 10 groups they're going to take. And I think last year we had about 25 or 26 applicants for 10 nights, so we could only pick 10 and we had to turn down 16. And the festival really at this stage has kind of gone from strength to strength, and the 10 nights this year were sold out before the first night even opened.
Well, that's a fantastic response.
Yeah, it is. It's the groups, I think, like to come here because we're the first festival. It gives them a chance to showcase to put their play on in an actual theatre environment, and they like the feeling of the theatre. And it's a very easy get in and get out. We're very well situated. We're close to the theatre's right beside it. They can pull up with their trucks and take their set out and set up from early morning, and it's a very accessible space, and it's a very intimate space as well. The theatre has 142 seats, and it's raked, so it's a very intimate audience, and the adjudicators seem to like it, the groups seem to like it, and certainly our patrons have really got to like it over the last number of years, you know.
And is it located near public transport and things like that for people to get there if they're not driving, for example?
Oh yeah, I mean, we're literally, I don't know, we're less than a minute walk away from the bus stop. There's a train station close by as well, so you can get a bus or a train from the centre of Dublin right out to us here.
Perfect.
And, we're very, very accessible, you know. And so yeah, I mean, the festival has really gone from strength to strength since 2004, and it's become just a regular feature that the members and the patrons really look forward to. It's a fantastic 10 nights, you know, because you're seeing a different play every night. And if you come up at 9 o'clock in the morning, you'll see an empty stage, and 8 o'clock that night, then there's a full set, all dressed and all lit and so on. And at midnight, the stage is empty again because they have to take their set down, put it back in their truck, and go off to their next venue.
I'm sure there's a lot of preparation involved in putting together the festival. When would you start preparing for the festival?
Well, I have to say the festival committee have it down to a fine art at this stage, but they would start preparing in, I suppose, in October, when they start looking and seeing what groups they're going to take in. And I think that's when the application process opens for all the festivals. So that's their first task, is to decide what are we going to do, what are we going to take in, what sort of plays, what groups are we going to take in. And once they have that sorted, then they basically have a very good blueprint about what way it works. One of the major items is a catering committee, because when the groups come up from the country, the festival, the people who are hosting the festival, which is ourselves in this case, have to make sure that the people are fed and that they get their lunch and the dinner and all that sort of thing. And so that, as you can imagine, there's a fair amount of organisation in that.
Big pile of the sandwiches, I can imagine them.
Yeah, so there's literally a small army of volunteers kick into action around the middle of February. As I say, they really do a super job every year, you know.
Well, it's great that you get such dedicated support for the community, and I don't think it would be possible to run that particular type of theatre if it wasn't for them.
No, and I mean, we found in the early years when we opened the theatre. Actually, we used to take part in the festival circuit ourselves. From the 1950s right up until to the late 1980s. But when we opened the theatre in 1988, it was a case of, well, we have a theatre to run now, so we can't be doing both. We can't be running the theatre and traversing around the country every spring as well. So it's just from a manpower point of view and from a financial point of view that the groups who go on the circuit commit an awful lot of money to it. Over the years, we used to run shows for 2 weeks, and then we went to run shows for 3 weeks, and now we generally speaking run shows for 4 weeks. But we'll tailor the run according to how we look at how we think what sort of a play it's going to be. So if we think we have, you know, a really rip-roaring comedy or something like that, we'll book it in for 4 weeks or maybe 5 weeks. And if we have something that's a little more selective and wouldn't have a wide audience appeal, we'll just run it for 3 weeks. And we've built up a certain level of trust, I suppose, with our patrons in terms of when they expect to see a certain standard when they come here. And I think we've probably managed to reciprocate that trust over the years.
And how would a person go about getting tickets to see a production in the Millbank Theatre?
They can just go to our website, which is www.millbanktheatre.ie, and that will give you a list of upcoming productions. And actually, we also take in various music gigs, in particular over the summer months. I think over the next while we cater to a wide variety of musical tastes. So we've got the Dublin City Ramblers, Declan O'Rourke and Paddy Casey coming to us this summer. You tend to find that with 142 seats, you'll tend to fill the auditorium because you'll get a certain number of people who will be interested in any musical act really that comes to us, you know. But they can visit the website, or they can call the theatre office, and all the contact details are on the website, and they can just book their tickets or whatever, you know. And we offer obviously credit card payment and so on. And actually, one of the more exciting things that we're going to do next season is we're going to launch our Millbank Theatre Movies, and that's in hopefully will be in association with the Access Cinema, and we intend to run on a pilot basis anyway. For the moment, we intend to run one a month from September onwards, and we're hoping that'll appeal to. It won't be mainstream, but it'll appeal to. So we'll be running, you know, sort of independent movies and artist movies and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And is there any theatre coming up at the Millbank over the next while that you can tell us about?
Well, we're actually in the middle of sorting out our programme for our next season, our season runs from September to May, in effect. Our theatre season runs from September to May. And we're in the process of finalising that, so we should be having our launch within the next few weeks. But I can tell you that we have two pieces of new Irish writing. We have a classic piece of English comedy farce, and we have a classic from the canon of modern American theatre as well. So we've a very interesting programme lined up, and we'll let you know when we have that finalised.
So people should probably keep an eye on the old website to make sure they don't miss any chance to get tickets for any productions that are coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a Facebook page as well, of course, which is just, if you search for the Millbank Theatre on Facebook.
Very important.
You can like the page and you'll get all the updates delivered straight to your phone or to your laptop or whatever.
Well, listen, Brian, thank you very much for coming, for taking the time for the interview. We really appreciate it.
That's all. Thank you very much.
Best of luck with the next season, and I hope everything goes to plan. I'll try and get down to see as many as I can.
Do. We'll, if you log onto the website, you can put your name on our mailing list. So that's what we encourage people to do, so they get their reminders directly to their email account.
Absolutely. I'll do that as soon as I get off the phone. Listen, thank you very much, Brian. Best of luck with everything, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you so much to Brian Hosford for taking the time to do that interview. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Brian. Next up, I'll be doing my review. This week, I'm reviewing Trainspotting, which was on in the boys' school in Smock Alley. Having already seen the film, and indeed read the book by Irvine Welsh, I was curious to see how Trainspotting would work on stage. And I was pleasantly surprised. For anybody who hasn't seen the film, Trainspotting is a tale set in Edinburgh and tells the story of a group of young heroin addicts. The story focuses on John Rentboy, a junkie who revels in being a junkie because he enjoys the simplicity of having only one priority, heroin. However, as we enter his dark, heroin-infused world, we discover that life is not quite so simple after all. The theatre was full for this performance of Trainspotting. The audience consisted mainly of people in their early to mid-20s who were probably there because they had seen and presumably enjoyed the film version of the story, and they were not disappointed. There were four cast members, each of whom played two characters throughout the show. While this was slightly confusing at times, it really gave the actors a chance to showcase their considerable talent. The actors' ability to maintain such lively demeanours throughout the show, despite portraying such lively characters, was very impressive. Lorcan Strain, who played Tommy and Sick Boy, was particularly impressive. His Edinburgh accent was flawless. Deirdre Jones, who played Alison and June, didn't have a very good Edinburgh accent. However, she gave a very emotional performance, and her presence definitely added something to the play. The lighting, which I considered at first to be very primitive, was impeccable. It was indeed primitive, but it was suited to the stark nature of the play. The soundtrack to the play took obvious inspiration from the movie, but did not go down the cheap route of using traps that were used in the film. The music used was perfect for the moments when it was used. For moments of violence, the Ace of Spades provided the perfect soundtrack, while the lighting flashed red and white, which really added to the feeling of violence occurring. Renton's declaration that he was a huge David Bowie fan and had all his LPs, while Bowie's Golden Years was playing, gave the audience a sense of his humanity, which was a nice touch. There was very little set required, but the stage and its surrounding were very cleverly used. There were times when there was somebody narrating the events occurring on stage, and the narrators were very cleverly placed in the stone windows overlooking the stage. There were also moments when the cast were running along the balconies, passing audience members, and at several points shouting to one another from the balconies. This made the audience feel a part of the performance. Although some parts of the story of Trainspotting were not included in this performance, I felt that it was a clever, lively, provocative piece of theatre, a brilliant adaptation of a stunning piece of writing by Irvine Welsh. Next up, I'll be giving you the lowdown of what's going on around theatres in Dublin. But first, let's have some music. That's right, folks, we've gotten to the bit where I let you know what's going on in theatres around Dublin over the next couple of weeks. In Smock Alley, there's Bears in Space. Two cosmonaut bears are on a spaceship hurtling towards the impossibly distant limits of the universe and the villainous beings who chase them. Through their renowned puppetry, comic skills and music, one of Ireland's most exciting theatre companies, Collapsing Horse, considered the perils and wonders of a journey across space and time to nowhere. This is going to be running from Friday the 17th to Sunday the 19th of July in the main space of Smock Alley at 7 p.m. So join them on their ethereal adventure. Also in Smock Alley, the Ugly Animals Family Show. For too long, cute and fluffy animals have taken the limelight. Join us in Smock Alley Theatre for a family-friendly show full of shenanigans as biologist and presenter Simon Watt brings you on a journey to explore the animal kingdom's most monstrous. The Ugly Animal Preservation Society is dedicated to raising the profile of the world's most aesthetically challenged endangered species. The show features videos, demonstrations, and lots of audience participation. That'll be on the 24th and the 25th of July in the main space of Smock Alley. In the Dolman Theatre, we have Seriously Now. Seriously Now started as a talk literary translator and writer Petra Kindler was asked to give during 2013 Waterford Writers Week. This talk morphed into a confessional comedy performance on the joys and perils of cross-country creative work, on surviving homemade hurricanes, and the challenging concept of laughing with a German. It received a standing ovation and so many requests for a repeat that the Waterford Garter Lane Arts Centre suggested the production of an extended stage version of for their theatre. This was realised with the assistance of Waterford playwright and director Jim Nolan, again to a standing ovation in a packed theatre. In the new theatre, we have 3 Days of Rain by Richard Greenberg. Following on from Company D's critically acclaimed production of Collected Stories, Donald Margulies in 2014, Richard Greenberg's 3 Days of Rain opens up even more powerful pathways for Company D's actors to explore. This Pulitzer Prize-nominated play is innovatively split between two generations in two equal halves. Walker has found the dusty journal of his father and reveals to his sister Nan that the truth about their father Ned might not quite be the impression they have, even though Ned has left the inheritance to Pip, Nan's secret lover. Pained by the revelation of their relationship, Walker, who has secretly loved Pip for many years, disappears into the night. In the second half of this beautifully poetic play, the same actors morph into the roles of Ned, Lena and Theo, and all is revealed about the truth of their motives and relationships. Also in the new theatre, Magpies on the Pylon by Michael Collins. Magpies on the Pylon is set in a tiny bedroom. Jim, a traveller father, struggles to cope with the suicide of his 23-year-old son. After his son's death, Jim becomes isolated from other family members. The audience accompanies Jim on an emotional rollercoaster ride as he articulates loving memories of his son, his fears for the well-being of his 3 other children, the turmoil that has developed in his relationship with his wife, his anger at God, and his agonising questions about whether there was something he could have done to prevent his son's death. And that's it for what's on in theatres around Dublin. Well, that was a great show. I hope you're all having a wonderful Tuesday. Thank you so much to my guest, Brian Hosford. Take care and I'll see you next time on Dramatic Dublin.
90.3.
Your community station.
Near FM.